Random House Audiobooks presents Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Edge of Victory 1, Conquest, by Greg Keyes. Read for you by Alexander Adams. Luke Skywalker stood before the gathered Jedi, his face composed, stronger than Durasteel. The weight and timbre of each word he spoke all confirmed his confidence and control. But Anakin Solo knew it was a lie. Anger and fear filled the chamber like 100 atmospheres of pressure, and beneath that weight, something in Master Skywalker crumpled. It felt like hope breaking. Anakin thought it was the worst thing he had ever felt, and he had felt some very bad things in his 16 years. The perception didn't last long. Nothing was broken, only bent, and whatever it was, straightened, and Master Skywalker was again as strong and confident in the Force as to the eye. Anakin didn't think anyone else had noticed it, but he had. Anakin distanced himself from his heartsickness by concentrating on his uncle's words. "Kip," Master Skywalker was saying, "I understand how you feel." Kip Duran took a step forward, running his hand through dark hair shot with silver. "Master Skywalker, the Jedi you trained and inspired are hunted and killed throughout the galaxy in response to the Yuuzhan Vong bounty placed on our heads, and you understand it the way you might an equation? Your blood doesn't burn to do something about it?" "Of course I want to do something about it," Luke said. "That's why I've called this meeting. But anger is not the answer. Attack is not the answer. We are Jedi. We defend. We support." "Defend who? Support what? The same cowardly beings who now defame us, deride us, and sacrifice us to their new Yuuzhan Vong masters? No one wants our help. They want us dead and forgotten. I say it's time we defend ourselves. Jedi for the Jedi!" Applause smacked around the chamber. Anakin had to admit, Kip made a certain amount of sense. "What would you have us do then, Kip?" Luke asked mildly. "I told you, defend ourselves. Go out and fight evil in whatever guise it takes. Offense against evil is defense." "In other words, you would have us all emulate what you and your dozen have been doing," said Luke. "I would have us emulate you, Master Skywalker, when you were battling the Empire." Luke sighed. "I was young then. There was much I did not understand. Aggression is the way of the dark side." "Master Skywalker, sometimes the only defense is an attack. You know this as well as anyone, but you back down from the fight, Master Skywalker. You block and defend and never return the blow. When will you attack, Master Skywalker?" "This is ridiculous," a female voice exploded half a meter from Anakin's ear. It was his sister, Jaina. "While you've been out there blazing your guns, Kip, Master Skywalker has been working quietly and hard to make sure things don't fall apart."
"Yes, and see how well that's gone," Kip said.
"Duro, for instance. How many Jedi were involved there? 5? 6? And yet not one of you, Master Skywalker included, smelled the rank treachery of the situation until it was too late. Why didn't the Force guide you?" He paused and then smacked a fist into his palm for emphasis. "Because you were acting like nursemaids, not Jedi warriors. I've heard one of you even refuse to use the Force." He looked significantly at Jaina's twin, who sat stone-faced halfway around the hall. "You leave Jason out of this," Jaina snarled.
At least your brother was honest in his refusal to use his power, Kip said. Wrong, but honest. And in the end, when he had to use it, he did. The rest of this group has no excuse for its ambivalence. Bantha fodder, Jason snapped. Master Skywalker hasn't been complacent. None of us has. But the sort of naked aggression you condone is... effective, Kip sneered. Stay here, meditate, and wait. I won't. I know what the fight is and where it is. With that, he turned and started from the chamber.
No, Jaina whispered to Anakin. If Kip leaves, he'll take too many with him.
So, Anakin said, are you so sure he's wrong?
It won't help any of us if the Jedi split. We have to try to help Uncle Luke. Come on.
Jaina and Anakin followed Kip from the chamber. Kip turned as they approached. Anakin, Jaina, what do you want?
To talk some sense into you, Jaina said.
I have plenty of sense. You two ought to know better. It's not like you to sit while others fight.
I haven't been, Jaina flared. Neither has Anakin or Uncle Luke or...
Spare me. Jaina, I have the greatest respect for Master Skywalker, but he is wrong. The Yuuzhan Vong have to be stopped. I've got to go, but any time either of you wants to fly with me, find me. Other than that, I sincerely hope Master Skywalker comes around. I just can't wait for it. May the Force be with you. They watched him go.
I wish I didn't more than half think he was right, Jaina whispered. I feel like I'm somehow betraying Uncle Luke.
Anakin nodded. Kip is right, about one thing anyway. Whatever else we do, we're going to have to look out for our own.
Jedi for Jedi? Jaina snorted. Uncle Luke knows that. I'm not sure where he sent Mom, Dad, 3PO, and R2, but it's got something to do with setting up a network to protect the Jedi.
Anakin shook his head.
Fine, but that's what Kip meant by only defending. We need to know which Jedi are at risk before they come for us. How can we know that?
The point is, what are you two doing out here rather than in the meeting? Jason Solo asked from the end of the corridor.
We were trying to talk Kip into staying, Anakin told his older brother.
It'd be easier talking a Sirangana into a box.
True, Jaina said, but we had to try. I guess we ought to go back in now.
Don't bother. A few minutes after Kip walked out, Uncle Luke called a recess. Too much angst and confusion.
What were you discussing out here? How to figure out which Jedi are in the most immediate danger, Jaina said.
With the Peace Brigade out there, that's an open question, Jason said. They'll hunt us from the rim to the core if they think it'll appease the Yuuzhan Vong.
The Peace Brigade can't be everywhere at once, said Jaina.
My point is this, Anakin said. It's hard to predict which single Jedi might be next on their list. But if they could get a package deal, wouldn't they jump at it?
The Praxium, Jason said.
Yes, Anakin agreed. The Jedi Academy.
What about the illusion the Jedi have been maintaining around Yavin 4? That's been keeping strangers away, Jaina said.
Not since almost all of the Jedi Knights have left, Anakin said. They've either come to Coruscant to this meeting or gone off to try to help comrades who've disappeared. Last I heard, only the students are left, with Cam and Tian and Master Ikrit. We should talk to Uncle Luke about this right away. It may already be too late.
What Anakin didn't mention to his siblings was how he had awakened in the night, heart thrumming, gripped by a nameless dread. And though he couldn't remember the dream that had torn him from his sleep, one image had remained with him. The blonde hair and green eyes of Tahiri, his best friend. And Tahiri was at the academy.
Luke Skywalker sank into a chair in his study and stared out at the night, or what passed for it on Coruscant, the 100 shades of night glow, shimmering lanes of air cars and transports, bright-studded skyhook tethers lancing toward the unseeable stars. How many thousands of years had passed since anyone had seen a star in the night sky of this city world? Something drifted in the Force, an embrace waiting to happen,
Come in, Mara, he said, rising. Stay there, his wife answered. I'll join you. She settled into the chair next to him and took his hand. Tell me what's wrong. He shrugged and turned his face back to the cityscape. The Jedi, of course. We're breaking apart. First the galaxy turns against us, then we turn against each other. It's hard to watch it all fall apart. It's not falling apart, Luke. You have to believe that. I have to be strong for them. I have to be an example. But today, yes, I saw it. You had a moment of weakness. I've seen... He broke off. What? Mara gently urged. I don't know. I've seen a future. Several futures. However this ends with the Yuuzhan Vong, it won't be me that ends it, or Kip, or any of the older Jedi. It will be someone new. I'm afraid to even talk about it. Every word spreads, puts ripples in the Force for every person who hears it, changes things. I'm starting to know how Yoda and Ben felt. Watching, trying to guide, hoping I'm not wrong. She kissed his cheek. You worry too much. They sat and watched the skies of Coruscant until someone came to their door. It's the Solo kids, Luke murmured. They need to talk to me. He raised his voice. Come on in. He stood and brightened the lights. Anakin, Jaina, and Jason entered. Sorry we left the meeting, Jaina said. I knew what you were doing, and I thank you for trying. But that's not why you came, is it? No, Jason said. We're worried about the Jedi Academy. Right, Anakin joined in. It occurred to me that if I were Peace Brigade and wanted to catch a bunch of Jedi all at once, you'd go to Yavin 4. Good thinking, Luke said. Anakin's face fell visibly. You already thought of it. Luke nodded. So, what do we do? Jason asked. I requested the New Republic send a ship to evacuate them, but they're dragging their heels. They might continue to for weeks. We can't wait that long, Jaina said. No, Luke agreed. I've been trying to find Booster Tarek. I think the best thing for the moment would be to not only evacuate the Academy, but keep the kids on the move, in the errant venture. If we just move them to another planet, we don't really solve the problem. So they're with Booster? Anakin said. I can't locate him, unfortunately. I'm still working on it. Talon Card, Mara said softly. Perfect, Luke said. You know where to find him? What do you think? Mara said, smirking. But what if the Peace Brigade is already at Yavin 4, or on the way? Anakin asked. It's the best we can do for the moment, Luke told him. Besides, the danger is still hypothetical. The Peace Brigade might not even know about Yavin 4. And even if they did, Cam and Tian are there. They aren't exactly defenseless. It's not the best-kept secret in the galaxy, Jason said. And with the illusion gone, what could Cam do against a warship? Let us go. Out of the question, Luke replied. I need you all here, and with the bounty on our heads, especially your head, Jason, it's too dangerous for you to go off alone. Your parents would never forgive me if I sent you into that with them away. There's important work to do here. Weren't you just telling Kip that, Jaina, Jason? Yes, Uncle Luke, Jason said. We were. Anakin, you haven't said much. Anakin shrugged. There isn't much to say, is there? Luke detected something a bit dangerous in that, but it quickly passed. We agree that the Academy is one of our most vulnerable spots. Help me find the rest. Don't think for a second I've thought of everything, because obviously I haven't. The three of them nodded and left. Mara took Luke's hand. I'll contact Card. Anakin checked over the system's indicators. How do we look, Fiver? He asked quietly, looking at the cockpit readout display. Systems within optimum variance, the R7 unit assured him. Good. Just hang on while I get clearance. Meanwhile, calculate the first jump in the series to get me to the Yavin system. Getting clearance took a certain amount of finagling, including forging a code that would allow him to fly without a check that might alert anyone who would try to stop him. Because Uncle Luke was wrong this time. Anakin could feel it in his very center. The Jedi trainees were in grave danger, and Talon Card would not get there in time. Anakin knew it had to be him. He had to go. If he didn't, his best friend was doomed to a fate much worse than death.
Cleared for takeoff,
the port control said. Power it up, Fiver, Anakin murmured. We've got someplace to be. When the stars rushed back into existence, Anakin put his X-Wing into a lazy tumble and cut power to everything but sensors and minimal life support. Ordinarily, he wouldn't be so cautious, but given the feeling in his gut, he decided to play it safe. The planet Yavin filled most of his view, its vast orange oceans of gas boiling into fractal elusive patterns. Its familiar face had marked the days and nights of much of his childhood. The Praxium, his Uncle Luke's Jedi Academy, was located on Yavin 4, a moon of the gas giant. In a way, the whole system was like a familiar room to Anakin, the sort he could walk into and immediately know if something was out of place. And something felt very out of place. In the Force, he could feel the Jedi candidates. He could feel Cam Solasar and his wife Tian, and the ancient Jedi Master Ikrit. Not students, but full-fledged Jedi. These were as seen through a cloud, suggesting they were at least trying to maintain the illusion that hid Yavin 4 from the casual eye. But even through that, one presence shone brilliant, made brighter by familiarity and friendship. Yes, that was Tahiri, all right. What felt wrong was a little nearer and much weaker. Not Yuuzhan Vong, for they could not be felt in the Force, but someone who shouldn't be there. Hang on, Fiver, he told his astromech. Get ready to run or fight in a hurry. Affirmative, the display blinked. They tumbled into sensor range, and his computer built a silhouette from the magnified image. That's not so bad, he murmured. One Corellian light transport. Maybe it's one of Card's bunch. He activated his comm system and hailed the stranger. Transport, acknowledge. For a few moments, he got nothing. Then the audio crackled.
Who is this?
My name is Anakin Solo. What are you doing in the Yavin system? Another pause, then words underlined with a bit of anger.
We can see the moon now. We knew it was here all along. Your Jedi sorcery has failed you.
The transport seems hostile, Fiver reported. Hyperspace jump detected. 12 vessels have arrived. Distance, 100,000 kilometers. Sithspit, Anakin muttered, bringing his sensors to bear. They weren't Yuuzhan Vong ships, he saw that immediately. Just a motley collection of E-Wings, transports, and corvettes.
Unidentified vessel, this is the Peace Brigade,
a voice crackled.
Stand down and surrender, and you won't be harmed.
They were too far away to hit him. Soon they wouldn't be. Anakin closed his S-foils, rolled, opened the throttle, raced toward the distant meridian of Yavin 4. Anakin vaulted from the cockpit of the X-Wing into silent, near darkness. A twilight line of illumination in the distance was the entrance he had flown through into what had once been a part of an ancient Masasi temple complex. Someone was watching Anakin from the darkness. Who is that? A voice asked.
It's me, Cam. It's Anakin.
Some 10 meters away, Cam Solasar stood, hooking his lightsaber back into his belt.
I thought it felt like you, Cam said. But there's been an unknown ship in orbit for several standard days now. We've been trying to keep them confused.
Peace Brigade, Anakin explained.
And the one ship has friends now, about 10 of them.
He'd been walking toward Cam while he spoke, and suddenly his old teacher swept forward, clasping his arm.
It's good to see you, Anakin.
And you? You're alone? Anakin nodded.
Talon Card is on the way with the flotilla. He's supposed to evacuate you and the students.
Uncle Luke wasn't expecting the Peace Brigade to show up so soon, I guess. Cam's eyes narrowed. But you were, weren't you? You came here without permission. I came against orders, actually, Anakin corrected. They were approaching the turbo lift when the door hissed open and ejected a blonde and orange blur. The blur smacked Anakin at chest height, and he suddenly found surprisingly strong arms wrapped around him in a fierce embrace. Bright green eyes danced centimeters from his own. He felt his face go warm. "Hi, Tahiri," he said. She pushed back from him.
"Hi yourself, great hero from the stars, who's too good to keep in touch with his best friend."
"I've been busy."
"Right, I know all about it."
She stopped.
"What? What are you looking at?"
"I..." Now his face felt like it had been grazed by blaster fire.
"You look different. Older, maybe? I'm 14 now, last week."
"Happy birthday."
"You should have thought of it then, but thanks anyway, dummy."
Anakin found himself suddenly unable to meet her eyes. He dropped his gaze.
"You're, still barefoot, I see. What did you expect? I hate shoes."
She looked up at Cam suspiciously.
"What's he doing here anyway? I know he didn't come to see me."
"Anakin's come to warn us of trouble. We need to talk to Tian and Ikrit," Cam told her, continuing forward into the turbo lift. "Now," Anakin added, following him. "I'll explain on the way," he promised.
"Fine."
She ducked into the lift just as the door was closing. "The Yuuzhan Vong War Master basically put a price on our heads," Anakin said. "On all our heads, all the Jedi. He announced that if what's left of the New Republic will turn over all of its Jedi to him, and Jason especially, he won't take any more planets."
"They want to turn us over to the Yuuzhan Vong? Let them try."
"Don't worry, they will." The door opened, and they emerged onto the second level. Cam started down the main corridor, and then through a series of passages. They reached the central area, and 20-odd faces turned toward them. Human, Bothan, Twi'lek, Wookiee, more than a dozen species were represented. All were quite young, except one. Tian, Cam's wife, a graceful silver-haired woman with pearl-white eyes. Her eyebrows lifted in surprise and her lips in pleasure.
"Anakin," she said.
"Tian," Cam said gently but urgently, "we need to talk."
"Anakin!"
Sana, a girl of 13 with brown hair and yellow eyes, waved at him. Even younger Valen Horn was waving, though he wasn't shouting.
"He's busy,"
Tahiri told them. But when Anakin went to talk with Cam and Tian, Tahiri came along. "Tahiri," Cam began.
"Oh, no," she said. "You aren't leaving me out of this."
"I wasn't going to," Cam said gently. "I was going to ask you to find Master Ikrit and meet us in the conference room."
"Oh, okay."
She whirled off down the corridor on bare feet. Tahiri was back with Ikrit only moments later. The old Jedi Master padded into the room on all fours, his long floppy ears dragging the ground. His normally bright eyes seemed a little dull to Anakin, and he felt an inexplicable pang.
"Master Ikrit."
"Young Anakin, it is good to see you, though you bring troubling news."
Anakin raced through the details once again for Ikrit and Tian.
"They would take our children?" Tian murmured.
"The Peace Brigade? Absolutely. We'll have to hide them," Anakin said.
"Down the river, the cave beneath the Palace of the Woolamander," Tahiri offered. "Master Ikrit's cave."
Anakin raised his eyebrows.
"That's a good idea. They'd be really hard to find there, especially if the Peace Brigade doesn't start looking right away."
"What do you mean by that?" Cam said, his voice suddenly cautious. "Why would they delay the search?"
"I'll stay behind," Anakin said. "I'll make it look as if we're still in the temple trying to make a stand. They'll waste time shooting their way through while you and Tian get the kids to safety."
"You're leaving out one little detail," Tahiri said. "What about you? What keeps you safe?"
I'll hide the X-Wing. I know a good place. Then I'll play hide-and-seek until Talon Card shows up. Once he's mopped up the Peace Brigade, I'll lead him to you.
Anakin is correct, Ikrit said. It is part of his destiny. And mine.
Master Ikrit, Anakin began.
You will say I am no warrior. That may be true. But it is not lightsabers that will prevail here today. Not weapons. Not all uses of the Force are aggressive.
Anakin pursed his lips, but he couldn't bring himself to contradict the ancient master. Cam gnawed his lip for a moment. Very well, he said at last. I don't like it, but we don't have time for a debate. Tahiri, come along. Help me and Tian get the students on the boats.
Fine, Tahiri said, but I'm staying with Anakin.
No, Anakin said. Her eyes widened in shocked betrayal.
You don't want me with you. After all we... You think I'm a kid just like they do.
No, Anakin thought. I just don't want to see you killed, too.
Come on, Tahiri, Tian said gently. There's no time to lose. Fine. That's just fine, she said.
And without another glance at Anakin, she darted from the room. Cam placed his hand on Anakin's shoulder.
It's been hard on her without you here.
Anakin nodded.
I'd better get to work.
Be careful, Anakin. You don't have to buy us a lot of time. When you need to go, go. We need you alive.
It will burn you, Anakin.
Ikrit's pleasant, familiar rasp solemnly pronounced. Anakin looked up from his work on the intercom. He and the old Jedi were in what had once been the command center when the Great Temple had been a rebel base. Most of the wartime equipment was gone, but some remained. The various communications systems, including the intercom that piped information throughout the temple and its surrounds.
Master? Your anger. You have built yourself a vessel to contain it, but the crucible itself will one day melt from the heat. Then you will burn, and others with you.
Anakin slipped a modified data chip in place and straightened.
With all due respect, Master Ikrit, we don't have time for this discussion. The Peace Brigade will be here any moment.
This is the perfect time for it, Ikrit replied. Perhaps the only time. I am centuries old, Anakin. I was drawn to Yavin 4, and now I know why. To see something new born in you and Tahiri. I must give you whatever small help I am able to give to see that birth arrive.
A chill spidered up Anakin's back. Ikrit's words struck something in his core. Ikrit walked to the window.
They are here, he said.
Anakin bolted over. Peace Brigade ships were settling everywhere.
I'm not ready, Anakin said.
You are ready, Ikrit replied.
I'm not as ready as I would like. 10 minutes more would have been nice. I could have brought the automated defenses of the power generator online.
Tell me what you have done.
Anakin switched on the intercom. Faint sounds of speech and movement bustled around them.
It'll sound like a bunch of us are in here.
They will see, also, Ikrit said.
The Great Temple was a ziggurat with three giant steps. The old command center was on the second tier. The ancient structure had five openings that led out to the flat paved surface that was the roof of the lowest tier. Anakin and Ikrit made their way to the one that faced the landing clearing and peeked out. Anakin saw five ships settled in the clearing. Two were already disgorging armed Peace Brigaders.
I hope they go for this, Anakin said.
He lifted a remote comm unit and keyed into the outdoor speakers.
You are trespassing on the grounds of the Jedi Academy, he said. Please leave immediately.
A moment later, the exterior speakers of one of the ships boomed on.
You inside the temple, the voice said. This is Lieutenant Cot Murno of the Peace Brigade. We have been empowered to take control of this facility.
On whose authority?
The Alliance of 12.
Never heard of it, Anakin replied.
Whoever they are, they don't have any jurisdiction over this system.
They do now, Murno answered. We are their authority. Surrender and you won't be harmed.
You are cowards and traitors. You want us? Come and get us.
Anakin fired his blaster through the narrow window and ducked as return fire heat-spalled the ancient stone. The blaster bolt seared by over his shoulder, glanced down into the Peace Brigade. Anakin jerked his head around.
That shot came from above us.
Yes, Ikrit said. Didn't you know she would come?
Who?
But in a flash, he knew. Tahiri was up there. Tahiri and two other people. All Jedi.
Hot slime,
he swore.
Just what I need.
He turned to Master Ikrit.
There won't be room for all of us in the X-Wing. Meet me in the deep grotto. I'll think of something on the way.
With that, he raced down the corridor, blaster in one hand and lightsaber in the other. He found them in the refectory, Tahiri, Valenhorn, and Sana. They had barricaded the outer door with tables and had two blasters between them, no telling where they had gotten them. When Anakin entered, Tahiri waved the gun at him.
What are you doing?
Anakin exploded.
Helping you, Tahiri said with a grin. How did you... Cam thought we were on Tian's boat. Tian thought we were on his. Simple, with a little planning. This is insane. Fine one you are to talk, Anakin, Tahiri snapped. You're the one who left Coruscant without permission, aren't you? You get to do everything while we just run away and do nothing? I don't think so, best friend. Yeah, well, my plan was to get away in the X-Wing. Now we have too many people for that. What does the brilliant Tahiri propose we do exactly?
Oh, her green eyes went round.
I hadn't thought that far. No, I guess you didn't. We'll have to think as we go. I told Ikrit to meet us in the grotto. Then we'll be stuck underground, Sana said. I didn't have much time to put this together. You mean there's more to your plan than hiding in the grotto? Tahiri asked.
Anakin blew out a deep breath.
Sure. We'll take a Peace Brigade ship.
Tahiri smiled.
There. That wasn't so hard, was it?
They reached the turbo lift just as a clump of Peace Brigaders appeared at the end of the corridor.
Hey, stop!
One of them shouted. Two blaster shots pinged against the doors as they closed.
The turbo lift's going to stop at the second level, Anakin said.
Override it, said Tahiri. I can, he said, activating his lightsaber with a snap hiss. The door will stay open for a few seconds. If they're out there... The door opened on the muzzles of six blasters. Anakin didn't think. He'd already slapped the down button. Now he leapt into the midst of his enemies, blocking the first two blaster bolts with his weapon. Two came at him with stun batons. He leapt and whirled, disarming one with a cut that took several fingers, and another sheared the baton in half. He felt another blow coming, one he wasn't quite fast enough to avoid. When he turned, he was facing another lightsaber, its blade a vibrant blue. Behind it, gripping it and grinning fiercely, was Tahiri. She just slashed a force pipe in half that had almost impaled him. He didn't let his astonishment faze him. The turbo lift with Sana and Valen was long gone. Find Master Ikrit, he sent after the young candidates. Then he squared his shoulders and faced the Peace Brigaders who were regrouping 2 meters away.
They can't get all of us, a woman in front said.
Of course we can, Anakin said.
All of us?
She smirked. From behind her came the sound of what could only be reinforcements. Anakin hit the woman hard with a telekinetic shove that took all of her companions down, too. Then he whirled and made 4 quick slashes that opened a gaping hole into the turbolift shaft. Go, he told Tahiri. You say you're ready for all this? Jump. Tahiri nodded, and without the slightest hesitation, leapt down the shaft. Anakin followed her, bolts flashing above him. Together, they hurled through darkness. Anakin reached to Tahiri through the Force, and for an instant met a wall as hard as the stone of the temple. Then she reached back, and they clicked as if they had never been apart. They fell in a sort of acrobatic dance, Anakin using the Force to slow Tahiri's fall, and she slowing his as they spun around a common fulcrum somewhere between them. If either let go, the other would go whirling off, out of control. The two young Jedi touched down, feather-light, on top of the turbo lift. "Wow," Tahiri said. "It's been a long time since we did that." The car of the lift suddenly started again. Desperately, Anakin cut into the power couplings and superconductor casings in the walls. The lift jarred to a stop. Meanwhile, Tahiri sliced into the roof of the car itself, just as one of the outer lift doors blew in. "There's the ground floor, right there," Anakin said. "Come on." He jumped down into the car. With his lightsaber, he cut through the car and the wall beyond, revealing an underground hangar that hadn't been used since the battle against the first Death Star. He activated his wrist comm. "Fiver."
"Affirmative."
Fiverr's response scrolled across the small display. "I need you to fly the X-Wing out of the hangar. Avoid all pursuit. Got that?"
"Affirmative."
"Good luck, Fiverr," Anakin whispered. The pungent, rotten egg scent of sulfur would have led Anakin and Tahiri to their destination if their memories had not. Ikrit, Valin, and Sana sat on the edges of an underground hot spring, just outside of a shaft of light that fell from 100 meters above, where some long-ago force had cut through the soft stone. When they were younger, they had come here with Cam and Tion to drift in the warm water to contemplate the stars above and the person within. It was a place all the students knew, but which was never spoken of to anyone else.
"Good that you have come," Ikrit sighed.
"What will we do now?" Valin asked. He was trying to look brave, but Anakin could feel his fear. "Now, you guys will keep waiting here. It should be safe enough. I'm going to climb up there." Tahiri elbowed Anakin in the side. "I mean," he corrected, "Tahiri and I will climb up there while we have light to see by. Then we'll commandeer one of their ships, one big enough for all of us."
"Remember," Ikrit said, "you two are better than the sum of your parts. Together, that's the important thing. Now go."
They reached the top by nightfall and took shelter in a small cavern just under the lip of the pit. They sat shoulder to shoulder, breathing deeply and working the cramps from their muscles.
"When you left the academy with Mara, why didn't she even bother to say goodbye?" Tahiri said suddenly.
"What brought that up?"
"There hasn't been time to talk about it until now."
"Well, keep your voice down. It's not exactly the brightest thing for us to be making noise." Tahiri punched his shoulder lightly.
"You didn't send me a single message."
Anakin was silent for a moment, and so, miraculously, was Tahiri.
"I did miss you," Anakin finally said. "No one knows me the way..."
"Right," Tahiri said.
"No one knows you like I do, and you don't want anyone to. You want to keep all that stuff in you where no one can touch it. Chewbacca, and the thing at Center Point."
"You're right," Anakin said. "I don't want to talk about that." Tahiri's shoulders began to shake, and Anakin realized she was crying.
"Come on, Tahiri," he said. "What are we, Anakin? A year ago, you were my best friend in the world."
"We're still best friends," he assured her. Almost without thinking, he reached for her hand. For a few seconds, she didn't respond. Then she gripped back, and warmth rushed around him like a whirlwind. She nodded her head over onto his shoulder, still weeping, and silence folded around them again. But this time, it was an easier silence. After a while, her breathing became regular, and Anakin realized she was asleep. By the faint orange light of the gas giant outside, he could make out traces of her features, so familiar and yet somehow different. It was as if, below the girl's face he had always known, something else was pushing up. It made him want to hang on and run away at the same time. And in a mild epiphany, he realized he had felt that way for some time. As children, they had been best friends. But neither of them was a child anymore. Not exactly. Anakin woke Tahiri an hour before the orange planet set. The sun was not yet out. "It's time," he said. "Good," Tahiri mumbled. She shifted into a crouch. "Are you ready?" Anakin asked.
"Ready as rockets, hero boy."
Carefully, they climbed from the pit and padded through the jungle. The spicy scent of bruised blue-leaf shrubs suggested a lot of searching had been done in the area, but for the moment it was quiet. Anakin and Tahiri made it to the ship landing clearing without incident.
"I like that one,"
Anakin whispered, pointing at a light transport a little apart from the rest. "I don't think I'll have trouble flying it, and we can get it down the pit."
"You're the captain, Captain."
They found a guard in front of the ship, sitting on the open ramp. He came quickly to his feet when he saw them. "You're needed around the other side of the temple," Anakin told him, with a slight wave of his hand. The fellow hesitated an instant, scratching his chin.
"I'm needed elsewhere," he allowed.
"See you later," Anakin said as the man started away, pace quickening as he went.
"What the?"
A young man's face stuck around the corner. He looked as if he had just awakened. Seeing Anakin and Tahiri, the fellow's eyes went wide and he reached for his blaster. He stopped with the snap hiss of Anakin's lightsaber igniting, probably because the glowing purple tip was centimeters from one of his gray eyes.
"Easy," Anakin said.
"Hey," the fellow said. "I'm always easy. Ask anyone. Would you mind getting that a little farther from my face?"
"What's your name?"
"Ramus. Ramus Venn."
"You pilot this thing?"
"Sure."
"Any surprises I need to know about before I fly her?"
"Not that I can think of," he said.
"Good. I'll keep you aboard, though. If any occur to you, let me know."
Anakin shut his lightsaber down, made his way to the controls, and looked them over. They weren't that different from those on the Millennium Falcon, his father's ship. Venn cleared his throat.
"I just remembered. Before you engage the repulsor lift, you have to enter a clearance code."
"Really? Or what happens?"
"The cabin will sort of electrify."
"I'm glad you remembered that," Anakin said dryly. "The code, please?"
Venn recited it, and Anakin entered it.
"Hang on, Tahiri. This might go a little rough until I get the feel of it. And pay attention to Venn. If you feel the slightest twinge from him, dig it out."
Anakin engaged the repulsor lifts. The ship began to rise.
"Call out to Master Ikrit," Anakin told Tahiri. "Use the Force to let him know we're coming."
Talon Card studied the scene on the wild card's command deck view screen through pale blue eyes.
"Well, Shada," he told the striking woman at his right hand, "it appears that our babysitting chore has become somewhat more interesting than anticipated."
"I would say so," Shada Dukal replied. "The sensor shroud shows at least 7 ships in orbit around Yavin 4 and another 6 on the surface."
"None of them are Yuuzhan Vong, I take it."
"No, but I'd lay odds that they are Peace Brigade."
"I knew we should have found some way to leave sooner," Card said. "Skywalker was right."
An hour later, they were almost sitting on the nearest of the orbiting ships.
"They're hailing us, sir," Duncan, his communications officer, told him. "And powering up weapons." "Put them on."
A moment later, a thick-featured human male with thin graying hair appeared on the communication holoscreen.
"Freighter, identify yourself,"
he chopped the words out.
"My name, sir, is Talon Card.
Perhaps you've heard of me." The man's eyes pinched warily.
"Yes, I've heard of you, Captain Card. It's rude to sneak up on someone like that. And dangerous."
"And it's rude to be given a name and not offer one," Card returned. A look of annoyance crossed the fellow's face.
Don't try me, Captain Card. You may call me Captain Imsapan. What do you want?
Card favored the man with a wan smile. I was going to ask you the same question.
I don't follow you,
Imsapan said.
You seem to be having some sort of trouble.
I'm offering my assistance.
We need no assistance, I assure you. And to be blunt, Captain Card, I don't believe you. I remember you as a smuggler, a pirate, and a traitor to the Empire.
Then perhaps you'll remember as well what became of those who treated me with disrespect, Card said icily. But if we are being blunt, I am undoubtedly here for the same reason you are, to collect the bounty on the young Jedi below.
This is none of your business,
the man said. Profit is always my business. Consider my offer of help. I ask little in return, and I could be a nuisance if you spurn my kindness.
That sounds like a threat.
Card spread his hands. Take it however you please. Shall we discuss this further or not?
You say you ask for little. What exactly would that be?
Card stroked his mustache thoughtfully. The Yuuzhan Vong have promised a truce if the Jedi are delivered to them. I would like to bargain for passage through Yuuzhan Vong space once the borders are established. Imsatad nodded, and a brief look of disgust wrinkled his features.
What exactly can you offer me?
Better sensors than you have, for one thing. Detailed knowledge of Yavin 4, certain special defenses against Jedi, and the means of finding them. Imsatad chewed his lip for a moment.
I need to consult with my officers on this.
Take a few moments, Card said, lifting a finger. But do not bore me. Card cut the transmission.